Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, yesterday I said it was the coldest winter in 15 years. I've been corrected. It is now, based on the consecutive below freezing days that we had, it's the coldest winter, January anyway, since the year 2000. So we're talking almost 25 years.
2000.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty
and
cold.
And there was another bad year in,
yeah, was
2012?
2011.
I think that's the one that killed my lemon tree.
That was when a lot of the cactus, they couldn't handle 17 and 18 degrees. That I hope that is a 1 in 100 year event. But anyway, it's been really cold, and I know I'm not alone. A lot of people have lost the flowering plants, even those that were covered. So that means a lot of business for Jan and Jack over at Green Things. And we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, part of they have the naming rights to the studio when I'm on the air, which is great. We're not out at Green Things physically, but we're with them in spirit. We're at the Bustos Media Center in central Tucson, where we have five radio stations under one roof. All five doing very well, actually. This one is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. It was time to break out the champagne on January 2nd as we launched the 15th year of our radio program and my 37th year in Tucson radio and TV. We have our worldwide live listening. All of our podcasts are on my website, buckmastershow.com. My assistant, able body assistant, Rosemary Brandt, very, very good about getting the show posted, usually by 6 o'clock, same day the shows are posted on my website. When we do our telephone interviews, that is sponsored. The live line is sponsored by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, we talk one of my favorite subjects. That's really why I do the radio show, is to talk about things I really like. And one of the things I really like, and folks who've been listening to the show know, I love to travel. I love airplanes, that kind of is a natural for Tucson International Airport, known as TUS. With me in studio for his monthly visit, Brian Kidd is with us, Deputy Chief of Strategic Marketing and Air Service Development. Hey, Brian, how was your holiday?
Hi, Bill. Great. Like you, I'm not happy with this cold weather, but it's nice today, so we'll enjoy a one-day reprieve.
You gotten any of the numbers back for the holidays? A lot of people coming through TIA.
Still waiting for December. It takes us a couple weeks to get all the reports in from the airlines. The peak days were really busy. We had some of our busiest days of the year. We were over the Christmas holidays this time. Then there were some other days that weren't so busy. As we talked last time, there were some bargains to be had, so I hope folks found some.
A lot of people did come through the airport. I think, was it 200, roughly 259,000 passengers between the 18th of December and January 5th. That was kind of the peak. But as you say, there were some really busy days and some days that would be kind of unusually quiet for the holiday season. There were bargains to be. Why was the capacity a little funky this holiday season?
Yeah, so the airlines have given, as we've mentioned from time to time, the airlines have rewarded us because of our strong performance earlier in 2024 with a lot of extra capacity starting in the fall and continuing into the winter. And so it's a lot of extra seats to absorb into the market. And so if you were not picky and were willing to be flexible, there were extra seats out there to be had. And the airlines are reacting what they see in the past in terms of performance. And so it's always lagging a little bit. They just saw us generating a lot of revenue, and they gave us some of the biggest capacity increases in the whole western U.S. went to Tucson.
Really?
And we have them still right now, and we are not full in January. January is not the ramp up yet of inbound visitors. There's
got to be February.
It is starts ramping up in February. March is the peak.
Mm-hmm.
Continues into April, and then May, it all turns around. University of Arizona lets out, schools let out, and Tucsonans start traveling outbound. So the flow turns around in May.
And each development officer at each airport around the country has his or her own challenges. What are unique, you know, to a particular market? And so one of the things that is a, you know, you try to sell the point to the airlines, hey, we're a year-round destination. But some of them think of us more like, I hope not a lot of them, but an area where you used to work in Palm Springs, which, granted, that really is a seasonal destination.
Right. There's no way you're going to be
market
able to,
that as a, yeah.
It's a tough sell for the summer there. Here, not as bad. Plus, we have a lot more local population. You know, Palm Springs only, even in the whole Coachella Valley, you're only talking about 450,000 people here in Tucson.
It's a small market.
Yeah, way over a million, even not counting, you know, places that are closer to Phoenix. But so that keeps the seasonality down. But the airlines do, if you don't remind them. And what happens is when they drop our capacity, and it makes it even harder for our local travelers to use us. And then we lose more to Phoenix. So it becomes this vicious circle because we, and so that's why I keep saying, even if it's a little more money or a little more elapsed time on the flight, it really helps us to use the local airport, and that especially in the summer, because it keeps the airlines from saying, oh, that traffic really dries up in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to have anything there in the summer. Also, the summer, there's a lot of competition for profitable places to put the aircraft, and in the winter, not so much. We really stand out in the winter. In the summer, everything makes money. So it's really tough to, you know, it's a fierce competition in the summer for those flights.
And if you're someone that does not like a delay, and I think most travelers would fall into that category, you really don't want to be hanging out for a long period of time, even though our airport tries to have as many nice amenities as possible. But these statistics came out, and the top 10, Tucson International Airport made the top 10 list, and this is a good list to make. Some of the shortest delays out at TIA.
Right. You know, we don't have very many weather delays at all. Obviously, not this time of year. You may get delayed elsewhere, but not to or from TUS. We have an easy on and off taxiway system, even though we're revising all that. You know, it's very quick. You just don't have to navigate a bunch of taxiways and runways. You just veer off and pull into the gate, and you're here.
Mm-hmm.
So that keeps that allows us to make up time on the, if there are delays on the other end, we can make up some of that time on our end.
And if people are curious about wondering what other airports made that list, and there are a couple from Hawaii, Kona on the Big Island and Lihue on Kauai. And that, for folks who've traveled over to Hawaii, that's pretty understandable because the air traffic in and out of those airports is basically coming over from Honolulu every hour.
Right. That's a simple, you know, not many operations there.
No.
So not a whole lot of airplanes to deal with.
But we were one of the bigger airports that did show up on the list. San Jose was on the list, Pittsburgh, Boise, your old stomping grounds, up at Portland International Airport. So the turnaround, they've really made a big improvement up at Portland, haven't they, with a lot of changes?
Yeah, the terminal's completely different. The runway, the reason they're low on the number of delays is because Alaska had reduced some of their operations there, but they are building them back up now. So this may change as we go. But Alaska's realized that Seattle's full and Portland's still, they are strong there, and that's a good place to, they can make a little hub there, and you can use it here too. We love those Portland flights to be year round, but for now they're still seasonal, unfortunately. But if you need to get anywhere in the Pacific Northwest, Portland's a pretty good place to connect right now.
Yeah, I've used it. I used it in October to get over to Spokane rather than choosing SeaTac, Seattle, because the experience that I've had up at Seattle in recent times is it's almost at certain times of the day, you're going to wait to get a gate.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to wait on the airplane to get a gate.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to be on the short delay list anytime soon.
No, they won't. Our live line is sponsored by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And before we take the break, I think we're going to go to caller Matt, who has a couple of questions for Brian Kidd of Tucson International Airport. Matt, are you there? Go ahead.
Yeah. Very quickly. Thank you, Brian. Number one, there was an incident at Phoenix with a shooting like a month plus ago, a while back. Just curious if I know it was just a sort of a domestic issue, but I was just curious, do you guys anticipate any changes coming because of how, you know, a gun was used before they... in the area that doesn't require, you know, them going through screening. Second question, very quickly, do you have any read on, is Tucson and Phoenix or any other Arizona locations being affected by the Southern California fires with regards to routes or the amount of people, passengers you're seeing? And just curious what your thoughts on it. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Two good questions. Brian, that incident at Phoenix that Matt was talking about was before folks went through security. And again, as Matt pointed out, that was a domestic incident. A lot of people may not realize, Brian, they may assume, but it's not just one officer who works at Tucson International Airport. You've got a full police department.
Right. Even at TUS, we have 32 sworn officers. So you may not realize the extent of what the law enforcement presence is there. We have a completely separate department, and they're out there every day, all the time, often with a public presence. You know, fortunately, our footprint is smaller, but the reality is the pre-security part of the airport is a public space.
Right.
You do need to have a purpose for being there. I mean, mm-hmm. We were not, those of you that traveled through last year may have seen, you know, people sort of waiting for their flight. We had a lot of migrant activity at TUS, and they were staying overnight waiting for their flight, and but they had to stay pre-security. But so technically that's a plug space that doesn't need to be monitored, and things will happen. I mean, fortunately we have a smaller area to cover, but we have quite a
robust, a
big part of our budget just yeah. to provide.
I wondered about that. That is a big budget item, isn't it?
It is. It's every airport has to deal with it, but we are, you know, fortunately we don't have that much ground to cover versus a big hub like Phoenix with all that square footage to and roadway to worry about.
And
the other question
about the LA fires.
You know, anecdotally, it looks like some people have decamped to get out of Southern California to some extent, whether they may have come over this way. I mean, obviously, the Rams playoff game ended up being played up in Glendale.
Mm-hmm.
People that have connections to, you know, places outside that area may have decided to take a break and get out of there if possible. I mean, it's not possible for everyone, of course, but we may have seen a little bit of that. It hasn't really affected commercial air traffic. They're used to dealing with low visibility, and the fires were not around any particular airport. Now, there were some wind conditions that were pretty nasty.
Yeah,
that's
the
typical.
Day that they had the wind gusts up to, 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. Places like Ontario and Burbank had some, they're used, it's a Santa Ana wind. I mean, that happens. It makes for a pretty wild ride, but mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily shut them down completely.
No, and LAX has pretty much been not impacted by this.
That's right.
For folks who love airplanes, there's something called LAX Live that shows all the takeoffs and landings, and it's actually narrated by a guy, and it's on social media, and it's kind of fun to check out some of his comments.
Right.
And he knows all the runways, and he knows the wind conditions, and he'll say, that's unusual. There's a 787 on that particular runway, and the reason it's on that particular runway are wind conditions right there on the ocean. All right, Brian Kidd, we'll stick around for another segment. We're talking air travel, specifically out of Tucson International Airport. Thank you, Matt. Those were a couple of good questions. We'll take a break. More with Brian right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and we're talking about air travel, specifically out of TUS, commonly known as Tucson International Airport, known as TIA, and Brian Kidd is here. And Brian, we've talked before about TUS, and people are going, what the heck is TUS? It's the airport code for Tucson. And people would say, well, why isn't it TUC? Well, that code belongs to somewhere else, I think in South America.
Argentina, yes.
Yes. I think it's in northern Argentina. But anyway,
right.
That's TUC was already taken. That's a whole other show, isn't it?
About we should do that sometime,
About how these codes developed and... Yeah. does it go all the way back to kind of the dawn of commercial aviation?
Right. Some of these have been around a long time and were implemented early on, and it is very difficult to change the code, and sometimes I have some stories around that, but yeah, it's, you're sort of stuck with what you got. With what the problem is with all the online bookings, we've found that if you just type in Tucson, you tend to not get just Tucson, but a lot of the online travel agencies will serve you up Phoenix, which we don't really want that to happen.
Yeah.
So we're trying to, it is a market change, but we want people to type into US when they're searching so that they only get Tucson.
And some of the codes, I just have to talk a little bit more about this because I'm fascinated by it. Like LAX is an easy one.
Right.
Like Anchorage, you would take ANC. Where you used to be up in Portland, it's PDX. So
there's a story with that one, yeah.
Why the X?
Sometimes the X is just filler, and the P and the D were the original, were what drove, and then they just needed to fill in the third. So that's the X, where the X is originating from. But again, a lot of these were even airports that were not situated where they are now. These, you know, early aviation had propeller aircraft and shorter runways, and then they rebuilt the airport somewhere else and didn't necessarily want to change the code, but this all happened years ago. Now everything is so ingrained in the various systems that it's really difficult to change the code. So,
you know, and even before Tucson International Airport was at its current location, I think it was at like the fairgrounds, or was it over like where DM
early
is,
on?
Like,
it was where the rodeo grounds.
The
were.
Rodeo.
And then
ground.
It moved out near where Davis Monthan is. That was the next iteration before it moved to where.
Because Charles Lindbergh actually landed here in Tucson, and I don't know if it would have been over at what is now DM or whether it would have been still at the rodeo grounds.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah. I feel like it. It may have been, well, it may have still been at the rodeo grounds.
Yeah.
The planes didn't take much runway then, and all the fields were short, and things have changed. In fact, you know, planes were, on barnstorming tours, planes would land on the top of hotels. It was so short a rollout. So.
Yeah, people would stand on their wings, and
barnstorming.
Right. Actually, people have asked me about the hangar, the old hangar there, at DM. You see that what is it on Valencia? I'm trying to think. Anyway, I wonder if that was part of the original airport.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been, because I have some old photos that show those structures, and that it very well could be.
All right, we're talking aviation history right now with Brian Kidd, but I want to transition, and without giving away any secrets, Brian is always working on trying to get new service. What's on your radar screen this month, Brian Kidd?
So the main thing that we talked about summer travel, which is important, but really we're working on next winter. We are still going to talk to every Canadian and Mexican carrier that I can get my hands on next month at a major conference to see if we can finally get international service beyond just our private aircraft. We have Frontier Airlines coming back to Tucson on March 3rd with a very small footprint, unfortunately. We need to try to make that work with only two or three flights a week to Denver, which will be a tall order. I wish the initial discussions were with a larger footprint, but this is what we have to work with, so we're doing our best to publicize it. And, of course, our Alaska Airlines and Southwest service to Sacramento, we want to retain those. I wouldn't say all of these are uphill battles. Those of you who have been in Tucson a while knows nothing's taken for granted. We have to really work hard on the marketing side to get the word out and raise awareness.
The Mexican carriers, is it Volaris?
Correct.
Yeah. Privately owned, and they are maybe with some government subsidy.
Not as bad as some of the other.
No,
right. Now they're a reputable, absolutely reputable firm. The management is actually very competent there. So I don't agree with all their decisions.
Well, and without knowing what their decisions are, they probably are telling you, well, we're into Phoenix.
They are. Is
and
the
some
usual,
of the Canadian carriers are saying the same thing. We serve Phoenix, so why do we need to serve Tucson? Well, they need to serve Tucson because there's a tremendous amount of Canadian visitors here in the winter.
For sure. And Calgary would be in the number one option, and it's the old story. Yes, they'd love to capture everyone at Phoenix, but that's not where the market really is completely, and we have to show them that the only way they can get the Tucson based or Tucson destination travelers to serve Tucson. So that's the story.
All right. The website is FlyTUS, and there's a lot of information there. So check it out, FlyTUS. You've got all the information, what's going on at the airport, latest on the comings and goings. And you really want to get that message out that we are the local airport and you're helping your neighbors when you fly out of Tucson.
Right. I mean, we're always in the shadow of Phoenix, seemingly, and we want to see if we can break that string.
All right, Brian Kidd, we'll talk to you next month. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, midway point of the Buckmaster Show. Rex Scott is the new chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Rex is going to join us right after we take the mid-show break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Coming up tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview, Tom Horn will be with us, the Superintendent of Public Instruction. Joining me in the interviewing, Caitlin Schmidt, one-time award-winning reporter for the Arizona Daily Star, and now Caitlin has started up Tucson Spotlight, an online news service. That's tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. But right now I want to talk about Green Things. I mentioned at the top of the program that so many people, including yours truly, lost a lot of the flowering plants as we are now experiencing the coldest spell, coldest January since 20, actually since the year 2000, so almost a quarter of a century. It's been a very cold 10 days or so. And even though you covered a lot of plants, still had a lot of problems, and a lot of the flowering plants didn't make it. So good time to go over and check out Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Pima County Supervisor, now Chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Rex Scott is with us. He is on the live line from Phoenix. He's been in Phoenix all week. He attended the State of the State Address on Monday at the Capitol. He spent the rest of the week meeting with his colleagues from around the state and our lawmakers. And this year, Rex Scott is the first vice president of the County Supervisors Association, and he's slated to serve as the president of that organization in 2027. And as I mentioned, he is now the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Chairman Scott, how are you, Rex? Happy New Year.
Bill, doing great, and Happy New Year to you and Tom and your listeners.
So, Adelita Grijalva, now, there have been some switching up some roles here. Adelita was the chair. She'll now assume a position that you had representing the supervisors on the Pima Association of Government / Regional Transportation Authority rep.
Yes, that's correct, Bill. We, at the beginning of every calendar year, take a look at all of our leadership roles on the board, and I had represented the county on the PAG Regional Council and the RTA board for 4 years, and we felt that it was a good time to get another supervisor involved. We are not mayors. We are all of equal status on the Board of Supervisors, and felt it was a good time starting up a new board's tenure for somebody else to take on that role after I'd been doing it for 4 years. But it's important to point out that anytime I go into a PAG Regional Council or RTA board meeting, it's only after I have met with the county administrator, the deputy county administrators, the transportation department heads. So any position that I take, any views that I express in those meetings are the county's positions, not just mine. And I know that Supervisor Grijalva will engage in those conversations with our professional staff as well. And so I think you're going to see consistency in the county's position, even if the person at the table is a different one.
Let's talk about, first of all, the state of the state. What did you, some of your impressions of the governor's address and rolling out her agenda, what she hopes for at the 2025 session? And then I want to talk a little bit about what you're hearing from your colleagues at the County Supervisors Association.
Sure. Well, it was, as a member of the executive board of the County Supervisors Association, the speaker provides us with seats in the House gallery so that we can hear the State of the State address. And prior to the governor delivering her address, Senate President Peterson delivered his own address, and sitting next to him was Speaker Montenegro. And they, Senate Peterson, on behalf of the speaker and their caucus, laid out some of the priorities and points of emphasis for the for legislative leadership, which is Republican at this time. When the governor came in, I very much appreciated that she touched on some of the issues that we are concerned with in Pima County, having to do with preserving our water and ensuring that that most valuable resource is always available to everybody in the state. Talked about affordable housing, specifically extending the low-income housing tax credit so that we can continue to make use of those state credits to leverage similar federal funds available to developers of affordable housing. She also plans to continue her commitment, and the legislature has joined her on this, and putting additional resources into the State Housing Trust Fund. And then was also very pleased to hear that she is looking at the extraordinary cost of childcare to working families in this state. And we can expect a new initiative coming from the governor to help families deal with the cost of childcare. That's also an issue of great concern to businesses in Pima County and throughout the state, because if their employees don't have a place for their kids to go, they're not able to come to work.
There have been shifting costs over the years, some of the money destined for Pima County and other counties in the state of Arizona was moved around by the legislature. Any indication that particular practice may come to a halt?
No, it absolutely will not. And back in 1992, the voters of the state of Arizona amended our constitution. And what they did with that amendment was say that the legislature has to have a two-thirds majority of both houses before they can enact any revenue measure. And that means not just increasing taxes, it also means rolling back previously enacted tax cuts or closing tax loopholes or credits. So when they reach any kind of financial crunch, and it's important to remember we also have a balanced budget amendment in the Arizona Constitution, so they have to balance their budget every year. Because of the supermajority requirement for any revenue measure, they really have, since that's been passed, only taken one of two courses, either cutting spending at the state level or shifting costs to local governments. So, no, I do not expect that practice to be discontinued.
Did your colleagues on this county county supervisors association, have they entertained the possibility of what it might mean to their particular counties for immigrant, so-called immigrant roundups, Rex Scott?
That was not an issue that I had heard brought up during this series of meetings, because the focus of this series of meetings was on the state of the state and also orientation for our new supervisors. And we've got a significant number of new supervisors across the state, including my new colleague in District 3, Jen Allen. Some of the counties have three new supervisors, both Maricopa and Yavapai, for example, have three new supervisors on their five-member boards. But I will tell you, Bill, that we certainly know in southern Arizona, the federal funds that we get for dealing with the presence of legally processed asylum seekers in our community benefit not just Pima County, but also our neighboring counties of Cochise and Santa Cruz. They do not have the resources to deal with that influx. And so we are certainly prevailing upon the members of our congressional delegation of both parties to make sure that the incoming administration knows how important those funds are so that local governments don't have to bear the burden of the impacts of federal immigration policy.
All right, Rex Scott with us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Mr. Scott, Supervisor Scott, is now the chairman of the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. We'll continue our conversation with Rex Scott after we take a short break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion regional transportation plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Want to send as many listeners as possible over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We have a great track record of sending a lot of people over there, and they come back and they always have a great time. They say, Bill, I had no idea. I've lived in Southern Arizona all my life, and I've never been over there. And it's not that hard to get to. Hit I-10. Head east, then one of the first or second exits. Tom's driving on the other side of the glass. Yeah, I think it's the second exit in New Mexico. It's Lordsburg. You hit the exit for Lordsburg, and then there'll be a sign, Silver City. It's basically you head up the mountain. You're going to gain elevation up to about 5,000 to 7,000 feet, and it's a delightful getaway. Their own little Shangri-La up on the top of the mountain. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the website for Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview, we always bring in a newsmaker and a guest co-anchor for me. I bring in someone from the media. Tomorrow will be Caitlin Schmidt. She was an award-winning reporter for The Star. Then she's gone off on her own and started an online news service, doing very well since their launch a couple of months ago called Tucson Spotlight. We'll talk to Tom Horn, superintendent of public instruction, tomorrow at noon. But right now, we're talking with Rex Scott, who is the newly elected chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. One of the first orders of business, Rex Scott, was Jan Lesher, the current Pima County administrator. A new contract was rolled out for Ms. Lesher. Were you happy with the terms of the particular contract?
Very much so, Bill. You know, it's important for the people of Pima County to know just what an extraordinary talent we have as our county administrator. Jan Lesher, prior to becoming the county administrator, had been the chief deputy county administrator and had worked for the county for about 12 years before she stepped in after Mr. Huckleberry's tragic accident to take on the role of county administrator. She had also served in state government under the Napolitano administration in a number of capacities. She went to Washington when Governor Napolitano became the first Homeland Security Secretary and helped to get that department up and running. And she also has a lot of experience in the private sector. The members of the board have been just absolutely delighted with the quality of her work and the amount of time she devotes to her service to the people of Pima County. She had taken a salary that was significantly less than Mr. Huckleberry's when she became the county administrator. Since then, some of her peers, such as the city manager in Tucson and the new chancellor of the Pima Community College system, have been hired, and they both had been hired at some substantially higher than her. So we felt that it was fair, not only because of the outstanding work that she does, but because of what her peers were making, but not just locally, but around the state, to build in the increase that we did.
Yeah, and I think losing her would be a huge blow to Pima County. And I did notice that Jan is thinking about retirement in a couple of years. Hey, I've known Jan for probably over 30 years. She's too young to retire. But then again, I'm one of these guys that just likes to keep working. But she did put...
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Her contract does go for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and then includes options to extend the contract for another year, two of those options. So conceivably, she could stay on board for the rest of our term if she chose to do so. But we will, 2 years from now, broach that conversation with her.
Yeah, again, I think she's worth whatever you guys are paying her. Now, about the jail, this has been talked about, my goodness, for many months and maybe well
right.
over a year now. Will there finally be that report that you will be presented with? I understand that's coming up.
Well, there is still staff work that is being done by direction of the county administrator to pave the way for a new commission that's going to look at not just the jail and what needs to be done to the existing facility or whether or not a new facility is needed. It's also going to take into consideration an appraisal of the current facility that we've had done by a consultant who's well-versed in detention facilities and their needs. But that commission will not only look at this consultant's report, they're also going to look at the entire justice system and specifically the composition of the jail population and whether or not there are other options for people who are not flight risks and are not risks to public safety, but are in jail merely because they cannot afford the bail that was set for them. We need some data on the composition of the jail population and who really needs to be there because they are, as I said, either a flight risk or a threat to public safety. And then we need to look at what other options are available, such as ankle monitors for those who are not flight risks or risks to public safety, because we can't consider the needs of the facility until we are taking a look at the composition of the jail population. And that includes not just how it might grow over the years, but who makes up that population.
So there'll be an appraisal, an official appraisal from a detention from a company that builds detention facilities around the country.
The board authorized the expenditure of funds to do that appraisal, and yes, that will be part of what the new commission will look at. But so, it will also look at the justice system overall.
So at this point, we know there are a couple of options. It might be helpful for our listeners if you would go over a couple of the options that might occur with the facility.
So we did have an initial commission that only looked at the condition of the jail and what the current facility needs, and what it recommended was several options, including building a new facility, and then other options having to do with dealing with some of the preventive maintenance issues of the current facility, and also expanding its capacity to deal with patients who have mental health or other healthcare needs.
We only have about, let's see, a couple of minutes, and I do want to address the unsheltered population. The numbers seem to be going up. I know it's very difficult to determine how many unsheltered there are in Pima County, but the numbers indicate there has been an increase. That certainly is a huge issue on your radar screen, isn't it, Rex Scott?
It is, and we actually had a reduction in the homeless population in the last point in time count, and there's going to be a new one done at the end of this month. But the reduction that we saw was pretty small. Our biggest issue right now, Bill, is dealing with folks who, when they are offered shelter or services, turn it down, either because of the requirements of the shelter that they are being offered or other factors. But what we have to look into is, are there communities around the country that have had more success in terms of not only getting people to accept services and shelter, but once they are in temporary shelter, transitioning them into permanent housing? And there are counties and cities around the country, Harris County in Texas, Washoe County in Nevada, that have been able to point to those successes. And we want to look at their examples. We also want to consider whether we want to consider working with our regional partners, the cities and towns and private sector agencies, if we are offering all the different types of shelter that we need to deal with all the different types of homelessness in our community. We've had some success at the Craycroft shelter, the former Knights Inn on Craycroft Road, mm-hmm. but that's been with a more stable part of the homeless population, which is primarily families with children.
Okay.
But we want to see what lessons we can learn from that we can apply to more challenging parts of the population.
All right, Chairman Rex Scott, Pima County Board of Supervisors, want to wish you and your lovely family all the best in 2025. Thank you.
Bill, the same to you and your listeners. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. On behalf of Chairman Scott and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster signing off and wishing everybody well.